In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So, wow, that was a little weird, wasn't it? Suddenly we're crucifying Jesus in Pentecost. Well, we have to fast forward to Good Friday because it's Christ the King Sunday. And that's where it calls Christ the King. It does occur to me that Christ the King Sunday may be the closest thing that this parish has to a patronal feast day. As I said in my Friday email message, churches that are named for a saint usually have a big celebration on the Sunday closest to the patron saint's feast day. Well, you're not named for a saint. In a sense, you are named for the Saint of Saints, the Son of God, Jesus the Christ. So today should be, and I hope in the future will be even more so, a special day of celebration for Christ Episcopal Church. Today also marks the end of the liturgical year. Next Sunday, first Sunday of Advent, Christmas is right around the corner. Hint, guys, don't forget to do your Christmas shopping. We tend not to be so good at Christmas presents. Advanced planning, shall we say. We'll bid a fond farewell to Luke's Gospel. And during year A, the poetic term for next liturgical year, we will be hearing the Gospel according to Matthew on most Sundays. But today, Christ the King Sunday, we end the liturgical year by putting things in perspective, acknowledging this priority, that Jesus is our King, the Alpha and the Omega, the numero uno. As I was thinking about my sermon for today, I went back and looked at some sermons that I have preached over the past few years on this Sunday, and there was one that particularly caught my attention. Ironically, it was one that I preached when I was rector of St. Paul's in Mount Lebanon, which we've had in this parish a relationship with for some time, and that relationship's about to get even closer because Paul Barker comes out of St. Paul's Episcopal Church in Mount Lebanon, Pennsylvania. As I reread that sermon, I thought of the how quickly we forget saying, because in that sermon I was reflecting on the then recent election of Michael Curry to be our presiding bishop. 7 years later, the Episcopal Church is now soliciting nominations to be Michael's successor when his 9-year term is up. And I reflected on the historic nature of that transition from Catherine Jeffords Shorey to Michael Curry, two historic figures in the history of the Episcopal Church, Catherine as the first female presiding bishop, and Michael as the first person of color to serve as our presiding bishop. Also, footnote for history buffs, Michael Curry was the first presiding bishop in the modern era to be elected on the first ballot in the House of Bishops. That's how popular Michael Curry was even before he became our presiding bishop. Well, in case you're wondering, well, what's the connection between Michael Curry and Christ the King Sunday? Michael famously proclaims that we are the Episcopal branch of the Jesus movement. He reminds us that Jesus really didn't come to start a new religion or to give us a long list of beliefs. Jesus actually came as the culmination of the movement begun by the prophets and continued through John the Baptist, a movement to bring peace, love, and justice to a broken world. Jesus came to show us what God is like, as the reading from Colossians tells us. He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. And Jesus came so that God would know what it is like to be fully human, experiencing all the joys and sorrows of humanity, and to experience death, even death on a cross, and to destroy death. Jesus came more to show us what to do than what to believe. And it's, pretty simple. Jesus tells us to love God and to love our neighbor. Jesus tells us to remember him and to make him present in the breaking of the bread. Jesus would, of course, have been very familiar with that passage from the prophet Micah, which pretty much sums up for us what it is we're called to do. What does the Lord require of us but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with our God? So Christ the King Sunday is actually relatively new in the grand scheme of things in the history of the church. It actually only dates back to 1925. And it was established in the Roman Catholic world by Pope Pius XI and later adopted by Anglicans, Lutherans, other mainline denominations. Now, in 1925, the world was still in turmoil in the aftermath of World War I. Europe had been ravaged economically and physically by the war. Mussolini was already in power in Italy. Hitler was gaining a lot of traction and popularity in Germany, unfortunately, and the Pope thought it was necessary to remind the world of what was truly important, who was really in charge in the midst of very troubled times. Well, no secret that we live in very troubled times also, right? We're witnessing a totally unjust war in Ukraine that's causing terrible death and destruction and threatens to possibly spill over with unimaginable consequences. We've suffered untold numbers of deaths from the worldwide COVID pandemic, a pandemic which sadly could again rear its ugly head. We certainly pray that it won't. And I don't have to tell you, we witness terrible acts of violence, horrible violence, almost a daily basis around the world, and especially here in this country. And now, as you know, that violence has sadly invaded college campuses, almost unimaginable, but sadly there it is. So we too need to be reminded that Christ is King, and to remind ourselves and the world of what is truly important. Some of us were at the diocesan convention Friday and Saturday, and at the service to invest Michael Cowden and seat him as our new bishop, we sang, "I bind myself unto thee today," sometimes known as St. Patrick's breastplate. And that hymn, "I bind unto myself today," reflects a very Celtic view of Jesus Christ and his omnipresence in our lives. And I was struck by those words. Christ within me, Christ behind me, Christ before me, Christ beside me, Christ to win me, Christ to comfort and restore me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ in quiet, Christ in danger, Christ in hearts of all that love, Christ in mouth of friend and stranger. Christ literally envelops us wherever we are, whatever we do. But Christ as King, our heritage as Americans is kind of anti-monarchy, right? You know, we fought a war of independence against King George of England. But on the other hand, many of us loved Queen Elizabeth, some of the other royals, some maybe not so much. And, you know, sometimes we treat our presidents as royalty. For those of us of a certain age, we will remember references to the Kennedy White House as Camelot, right? But we may think of kings as either the despots of old or the kind of figureheads of today. But of course, Jesus is a very different kind of king. As we read in this morning's gospel, Jesus freely gives away his life on the cross. Jesus forgives his executioners. He promises paradise to the criminal who is executed next to him. And he stretches out his arms on the hard wood of the cross so that the whole world might come into his loving embrace. So, whether we prefer to think of Christ as Savior, Healer, Forgiver, the Good Shepherd, or the Prince of Peace, we are part of the Jesus movement, and we are called to help bring in the kingdom of God, the reign of God. And as Michael Curry is fond of saying, we are called to help turn the nightmares of this world into the dream that God has for all of God's creation. We help bring in the kingdom of God when we serve meals at the Union Mission. We help bring in the kingdom of God when we serve people who come to our monthly food pantry. We help bring in the kingdom of God when we welcome people to Christ Episcopal Church. We help bring in the kingdom of God when we have a friendly smile for the harried cash register checker at the supermarket and the harried mom with two or three kids in the line in front of us. We help bring in the kingdom of God when we work for justice in our community, work to combat hunger, poverty, and prejudice, and bring the love of God through Jesus Christ to a world that is starved for healing, forgiveness, reconciliation, and love. Yep. We do live in a difficult and often very scary world. But as Julian of Norwich famously said, in the face of almost certain death from the Black Plague, a death she escaped, by the way, all shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of thing shall be well. With Christ as our head, Christ as King, Savior, Healer, Forgiver, all shall be well. We can live with confidence. And together, we can help change lives, and we can change the world through the power of Jesus Christ, the King. Amen.